Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Lux Industries Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saket Todi, Executive Director from Lux Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Todi.
Good afternoon, and thank you everyone for joining the earnings conference call for the quarter and the year ended 31st March 2022. Along with me, I have Mr. Udit Todi, Executive Director, our CFO, Mr. Saurabh Kumar Bhudolia, Mr. Jitender Kumar Shah, VP Finance, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope you have received our result and investor presentation by now. For those who have not, you can view them on our website. We have witnessed healthy demand across all our product categories in FY22. This growth was largely driven by our power brands, especially ONN and Lyra, as well supported by our flagship brand, Lux Cozi, the brand which has delivered consistent growth over the past many years. For the first time, our premium brand, ONN, has surpassed the revenue mark of rupees 100 crores, registering a revenue of rupees 120 crores, a growth of approximately 52% over the same last year. While Lyra, our women's flagship brand, has surpassed the revenue mark of rupees 300 crores, registering a revenue of rupees 302 crores, a growth approximately 34% over same last period last year. Lux Cozi too delivered a strong growth numbers of rupees 619 crores, a growth of 12% over the same last year. We are seeing a shift towards aspirational buying. The innerwear industry is becoming more than a necessity. Over time, we have noticed a shift in consumer purchasing behaviors with a growing desire for mid and premium category products. There is a notable shift away from choosing plain white wear towards a greater spectrum of purchase preference with patterns, textures, colors, and fabrics becoming more and more popular. Lux, being one of the largest branded innerwear players, has consistently assessed the market pulse and responded by introducing creative product lines in the mass, mid, and premium categories. We are confident about the future owing to a strong demand scenario, a diversified product portfolio across all price points, and our expansion into womenswear market. The company has posted robust performance for the year ended 31st March 2022, despite the industry experiencing multiple challenges, especially in the last quarter of FY22. The company has reported the highest ever revenue of rupees 2,312 crores, a growth of approximately 18% over the same last period. The company has reported solid top line and bottom line growth driven primarily by pricing power and increased demand for branded products from tier one, tier two, and tier three cities, indicating recovery from the pandemic. The company has undertaken several price increase during the year, which has led to a ASP increase of 19% in our premium wear category, 14% in our mid-premium wear category, and 25% in our economy wear category. Sales of our economy segment, which includes brand like Lux Venus, Lux Karishma, has increased by 19%, while sales of mid-premium segment, which includes brands like Lux Cozi, Lux Inferno, Lux Godrej, Lyra, and GenX, has increased by 13%. Our share of export has gone up too, which for the year FY22 stood at 7% of our total revenues. Our sale in the premium category, which includes brand like One8, ONN, and Lux Premium, have seen a stellar growth of 36% and now contribute 14% of the company's revenue as compared to 12% same period last year, indicating our brand building initiative are paying off. we are pleased to report company's EBITDA for the year, which grew by approximately 25% and stood at 490 crores as compared to rupees 390 crores same period last year. Despite disruptions in supply chain, increase in raw material price, and impact of the third wave of COVID in quarter 4 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at at 21.2%, an increase in 121 basis points as compared to the same period last year. This improvement was largely facilitated by the command of pricing and the company's effective inventory and supply chain management across our vendor network, which helped them to mitigate the risk of price inflation to an extent. For FY22, our ASP increased by approximately 19%, while our volumes have seen a marginal dip of only 1% compared to the same last year. Now, coming to our marketing and advertising spends for FY22, we have done several marketing campaigns depending on market condition, and they have paid off in terms of expanding our reach and tapping into new audiences. For FY22, we have invested approximately 153 crores in advertising and promotion, which is 6.6% of our revenue, while we have spent over rupees 794 crores over the last period, which is approximately 8% of our revenue. This has helped us to generate a revenue of rupees 14.96 for every rupee spent. From FY23 onwards, we plan to progressively restore our ad spending. We are committed to remain flexible in the medium and the long term to handle the challenges and deliver consistent, competitive and cash accretive growth in the quarters to come. With this, now I will ask Mr. Rohit Todi, who oversees the company strategy, to share his thoughts.
Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to everyone. During the quarter, the company debuted its lingerie product line under its women's flagship brand Lyra and promoted it through a targeted television campaign. Previously, the majority of this market was unorganized and import dependent, but there has been a significant shift towards branded products for wearing the right fit and comfort. The company is transforming Lyra from a single product category, which was primarily leggings, to a multi-product, multi-category women's wardrobe brand with this launch. Increased penetration in the women's wear category will not only assist Lux in creating brands across genders, but has also contributed to increased sales and profitability. Lyra, our women's wear brand, accounted for approximately 13% of our overall revenue of 2,312 crores in FY22. Our men's premium wear brand On has reported a net sales of 120 crores with an overall growth of 52% over the same period last year. With an increased penetration and having balanced focus between outer and inner wear both, On has established its own visibility in men's premium wear segment. In FY22, the company was able to manufacture approximately 34 crore garment pieces across brands through its 7 state-of-the-art plants and has a market share of approximately 15% in the organized men's innerwear market. Our expansion strategy is in place to improve manufacturing and supply chain capacity in order to capture market share in the women's and kids segment as well. In terms of supply chain, we have one of the largest distribution networks, which is our company's core strength. We have been able to maintain long-term relationships with our distributors, dealers and retailers thanks to our strong brand equity and goodwill. We are the largest domestic innerwear player by volume with a strong presence in the country's north, east and west. As on 31st March 22, we have been associated with 1170 plus dealers where we have less than 1% distribution attrition rate. For faster distribution of products across the country, we have set up 11 depots and 19 warehouses spread across 12 states across the country. We aim to further strengthen and streamline our distribution network to reach the untapped and undertapped markets of South India, where our sales contribution right now stands at 4%. We are also extending our e-commerce presence by partnering with prominent e-commerce companies like Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra and Ajio. We already ship over 4,000 orders daily each day and intend to achieve rupees 100 crores in online sales revenue over the next 3 years. With this, I would now request Mr. Budholia to take you through the financial performance.
Thank you, Udinji. The company has posted robust performance for the quarter and the year ended 31st March 2022, backed by the accelerated demand across categories. Our revenues for the quarter stood at Rs. 593 crore as against Rs. 601 crore, registering a degrowth of approximately 1% compared to the same period last year. During the quarter, the industry encountered multiple challenges, including Omicron COVID-19 wave early in the quarter and higher raw material prices due to supply chain disruption, as well as rising demand for cotton in international market. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 113 crore as against Rs. 129 crore during the same period last year. The EBITDA margin is at 19.07%. Our quarterly profit stood at 73 crore as against Rs. 91 crore in the same period last year. PAT margin for the quarter stands at 12.33%. Now coming to the yearly performance, our revenues for FY22 stood at Rs. 2313 crore as compared to Rs. 1965 crore in FY21, registering a growth of approximately 18%. The region-wise revenue contribution for FY22 is as follows. North India is having a contribution of around 36%, while East India and West India are at 22%, well supported by Central India and South India with 16% and 4% respectively. While revenue split from segment stood as follows, mid-premium is giving a revenue contribution of 54%. While revenue split from segment stood as follows, mid-premium 54%, economy 32%, and premium 14%. EBITDA for FY22 stood at Rs. 490 crore as compared to Rs. 393 crores in FY21, with a growth of approximately 25% YOY. The EBITDA margin has seen an improvement by 121 basis points, which stood at 21.2% versus 19.99% in FY21. PAT for FY22 stood at Rs. 338 crore as compared to Rs. 269 crore in FY21, recording a growth of approximately 25% same period last year. The PAT margin stood at 14.5%, an improvement of 91 basis points as compared to 13.7% in FY21. Debt equity ratio stood at 0.26x. Interest coverage ratio stood at 29x. Our working capital cycle stood at 188 days as of 31st March 2022 and was slightly on a higher end. This is mostly due to management's deliberate decision to stocking the raw materials, leading to a higher number of inventory days. Our inventory days stands at 132 days as compared to 90 days same period last year. The company, on the other hand, is continuously monitoring and managing all levers to optimize its working capital cycle and to reduce working capital days in the coming few quarters. As of the closing date, the company is cash and cash equivalent balance with a positive cash balance of with a gross cash balance of 140 crore. Before we open the floor to questions and answers, I would like to emphasize that as a responsible company, we are always striving to increase our stakeholders' accountability. In all of our business operations and transactions, we are guided by our long-standing dedication to the highest ethical standards and transparency. With this, we will now open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Bhargav B from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is that we've seen extremely strong performance in 9 months. However, in the fourth quarter, there has been a significant dip in performance, especially double-digit volume decline, and also significant deterioration in balance sheet quality, with cash cycle deteriorating to about 190 days. If you can just sort of briefly explain in terms of what led to this kind of a performance, that would be helpful.
See, if you see the top line is almost flattish in the quarter four, and definitely we were very much conservative and we were very proactive to manage our working capital, and that was the reason we have not allowed to dilute our credit control cycle, which we have already put on the debtors. That was the one reason we kept top line in our control. And from the working capital cycle days, anyway, the way we have explained, there was a lot of ambiguity in the market. And in recent past, we have seen that there is a sharp increase in the raw material prices. So company has taken a calculative decision that instead of keeping the money in the FDs or in the investment, we wanted to invest our money in the inventory, so that at least the margin can be protected. And in the coming few quarters, we can see the good result out of that. That was the only reason we have stocking the inventory by seeing the near future requirement, and this is that how much the margin we can safeguard by keeping the working capital cycle on a bit of higher days.
So when do we expect improvement in terms of working capital cycle? Because earlier we were net cash, I think we are now net debt as well.
So as Saurav has already mentioned, so see, during the last quarter, overall across the industry, the raw material prices have shot up very high. So even in the even if you happen to follow the news, there was a ministerial level meeting held by Piyush Goyal where they were deciding how to what steps can the government take with regards to the cotton prices. So the cotton prices right now standing at about 400 to 450 rupees a kg, which on an average last year, say about 12 months back, used to hover around 250-300 rupees. So the prices are on a very, on a very sharp rise, and the customers generally take some amount of time to adopt to the new price regime. So although we, across our brands also we have taken a price hike and are in the process of taking a price hike. So on the account of cotton prices moving up sharply, the cash requirement and the working capital requirement of the company has gone up significantly. And B, because of an inflationary trend in the cotton prices, so generally, if we used to keep a stock of, say, 15 to 20 days of yarn in hand, now we are maintaining a 30-day to 35-day stock of yarn in hand. So on both the accounts, because of the number of days of inventory and because of per unit price of cotton, both of these accounts, the price being high, so the the working capital requirement of the company has really shot up, and that is why you see that from a net cash we were into a net debt situation. But as if you look at it from a long term perspective or a medium term perspective, all of this raw material which is of a lower price which we right now have in hand, later on will ultimately convert to profitability for the firm, because the average price of this yarn compared to right now what the prevailing price of the yarn is, we are standing to benefit. So as a prudent measure, we were taking this step that we have to first of all have enough yarn stock in hand and also enjoy the increase in price of the yarn.
So because I was referring more to the debtor days, which have also jumped up 17 days about 103 days. So we were earlier keeping a very tight control on the receivable cycle.
Correct, Bhargav. So just as I had already mentioned, quarter four for across the industry, if you look at it, the mid segment and the economy segment have grown slow. Have in fact seen a very slight volume degrowth. Whatever growth is being visible is because of price hike. So the cotton prices being so high, the customers are taking some amount of time to adjust to the new price range. So that is why, because of slightly sluggish sales, that is why we are seeing the debtor days going up slightly. And
sure. Yeah, go on, please.
Yes, please. You were saying something.
Yeah, so on the 11th of March, there was this BSE notification which said that the board has granted leave of absence to Mr. Pradeep Kumar Todi and Mr. Udit Todi. So, if you can just elaborate on this, because as shareholders, we didn't get the message properly.
See, that point of time, that notice has been served by SEBI on the company. And actually, from the prudence point of view, Mr. Udit Todi and Pradeep Todi, being the related party, they have served the notice to the company that till the time the investigation is not getting over, they do not want to participate in the agenda in which these discussions are going to be discussed. So that was a temporary. So because of. Temporary they have taken an absence to conduct or to participate in the board of meetings wherever the matter of this insider trading and the notice which was served by SEBI is going to be discussed, was getting discussed.
So there is no change in roles, right? I mean, the family is together and the roles are intact, right? We can assume that business is as usual, especially given that now the confirmatory order has come in favor of the company.
So no, again, if you see since beginning till now, there was no allegations on the company. It was that 14 parties which were involved. SEBI wanted to have a complete investigation against those 14 parties. And even if you refer the confirmatory order which we have received on 27th of May 2022 and has now modified the restriction imposed in the interim order, and the only restraint remains is that they cannot deal in the scrip of the company, that is Lux Industries Limited. Otherwise now they are allowed to deal in any other scrip of the any other listed entities until further order pending completion of investigation.
So in terms of business roles, there is no change in business roles as far as responsibilities are concerned, right? Within the
family. No. So initially they took the leave of absence because they wanted to have the independent view going on and to maintain the good corporate governance. I think that was the major independently they have chosen, and they have served the they have given this request to the company.
Okay. Great. Thank you for the clarification and all the very best.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Amit Shah from Deep Research Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, I have just one question. Actually, the market chatter does suggest that there is some kind of brand separation which has happened among the two families. So where some of the brands have got to Ashok Ji's family, and some of the brands have come to the Pradeep Ji's family. So just a follow-up on that, if that is true, and if that is, that split is going to happen between the both the families, so how will the company operate? Would there be an alternate structure to support the same? How will everything look like if the market chatter is true?
I don't think there is any kind of official statement from the company side on this topic, and I believe this is more of a rumor and the speculation in the market. Unless and until we don't get a clarity, we do not want to comment on this question.
Is it something which has been on discussion for a while on the board level?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rushabh Shah from Anubhati Advisors.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just one question on the inventory part. So we have largely built up this raw material inventory. So would it be possible to break up of how much would be the basic, how much would be the finished goods in terms of the total inventory breakup?
Yeah, that breakup is immediately not available. We'll share it with our IR, and in turn they can share the data with you.
Perfect. But largely it would be the basic raw material, no? That just wanted to understand that part.
It is a mix of all the three factors put together between raw material, WIP, and the finished goods. But yeah, definitely the inventory has gone up because we have increased our inventory days in the raw material, largely.
Understood, understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Anurag Jain from Greenlands Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the I hope I'm audible. So again, am I audible?
Yes, yes you are.
Yeah, thank you. So my question again was on working capital. So essentially, if I look at it, you know, credit days, debtor days, everything has worsened. So while I can understand that we would have supported our vendors, payments or our distributors, but even our vendors also, we sort of made early payments. That's it. The other part was on the inventory, really. So, you know, when cotton prices are so high and we are actually seeing some kind of a demand destruction happening and some resistance in passing on cotton and yarn prices. Is it prudent to sort of hold on to such high levels of inventory at this point in time? I just wanted your thoughts.
Could you please repeat the last part of your question?
Yeah, so what I was saying was that cotton prices have gone up so much.
Yes.
This kind of demand destruction which is happening, it's difficult to pass on the price increases to the market. Mm-hmm. In such a scenario of cotton prices, the likelihood is that they would come down at some point in time. So does it make sense to hold on to such huge levels of inventory at this point in time? It should rather be advisable to be lean on the inventory.
So we have taken a very calculated decision. And when we see that, the yarn prices are on the uprise, we would rather want to hold on to that yarn price rather than buy it at the highest price. And so whatever, as I had earlier mentioned, whatever yarn prices or whatever yarn also that we are holding on our inventory, the value of those yarn prices, if I do a mark-to-market position, we would stand to gain. So had we not purchased the yarn at that point of time, we would have to purchase it at a much higher price. So, the purchase of yarn was done quite sensibly, and we still believe that it was a very good decision on part of the company that we still, there are two things. One is price and the other is availability. So at times, even at whatever X amount of price you pay, the yarn is not available because most of it ends up getting exported. So in order to maintain our supply chain throughout, so that, the supply chain is working smoothly, and on top of that, you also get to know that the yarn prices are on the rise. So you have to take care of both of these factors. And on both of these factors, the company, in fact, took a very sensible decision and stood to gain.
Got that. So at some point in time, we would take a call to normalize these inventory levels as well.
Right? So see, when the going forward, how will the yarn prices play out? It's difficult to comment. Right now, it's standing at a lifetime high. And there are we do not see any signs of it coming down for at least the next month or so. So, beyond that, it's difficult to comment. Because ultimately, it's a global commodity, and global commodities, there are many factors influencing the price of a global commodity. So, it's difficult to comment.
The only thing I had was this, that at lifetime high prices, we are holding very huge inventory. That was the only thing which I had. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dhiral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, if I look at our competitor, so despite price hike, they have been able to show the volume growth in FY22. So which is not the case for us.
So, Dhiral, even if you see, if you are comparing us with our peers, like we have managed to at least sustain our margins So we wanted to be very clear that unless and until we are not very much profitable, we are not going to run behind the top line. But if we compare with our peers, they have lost considerable amount to secure their margin, whereas Lux is considerably almost flat as far as margin is concerned. So we were more eager to have a profitable growth instead of just having a top line and to manage the financials.
So this will remain same even for FY23, or are we looking for any volume growth?
Sorry, come again, Dhiral.
So this will remain even for FY23, but you know, focus on the profitable growth, or we would be looking at volume growth also?
No, definitely. The
that would completely. That would completely depend on the cotton prices. As it would pan out in the coming financial year. If there is a continuous increase in the cotton prices, as it was in the last financial year, our main focus would be to maintain the margins. But if the cotton prices stabilizes in the next few quarters, then our focus would shift that keeping the same margins, then we can have a volume growth. While our peers who are at a lower margin, it would be difficult for them to increase the margins to our standards and have a volume growth when the cotton prices get stabilized. But in the last 4 to 5 quarters, what we are seeing is a continuous upward trend in the price of the cotton. And we believe that someday or the other, it might take 2 months, it might take 6 months, it might take 12 months. When the cotton prices get stabilized, then we would have the long-term benefit from it.
Okay, got your point, sir. So for FY23, are we also looking for improvement in margins as we did in FY22?
For the improvement in margin, whatever margin would be improved, that would be generally from the mix change. But the margins would remain the same of every single segment. But whatever it will be from the mix change, as we have seen in the last financial year, that the premium segment has been growing at a much higher rate than the economy and the mid-premium segment. So as we all know that the premium segment commands a better margin than the economic segment. So due to this mix change, there has been a good margin increase also. And in the coming year, we can expect the same scenario happening. And if the cotton prices get stabilized, then we will see a good volume growth as well.
Okay, and so what was the Q4 volume decline?
Quarter 4 volume decline is in the single digit only, but we are just overseeing the numbers. We'll share the numbers with our IR team.
Okay, and so what will be the ad spend for FY23-24?
For FY23-24 going ahead, see, as a policy, we always maintain to try to keep it at around, say, 7-8%. And that is what we are targeting to do in the coming year as well.
Okay, and so lastly, what was the online sales contribution in FY22 as we are targeting 100 crore kind of a run rate in next 3 years?
So we have already established the run rate of around more than 50 crore. So I believe on a 12-month basis, in another 12 to 18 months time, we should be in a position to get a run rate of 100 plus crore kind of number.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vishal Bhagaria from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the ASP side. We are seeing that cost pressures are still going on. So in the new fiscal, since the half of the quarter is gone by, have we seen any price increase? And on the future for the near term in this year, are we expecting any further price increases?
So as the cotton prices are already on the highest, we have already taken a price hike, and we will be taking a price hike also again, depending on how the cotton prices move. So for example, we are already in the process of taking a price hike in the current quarter as well. So yes, if I look at the entire overall fiscal next year, we always try and maintain maintain our EBITDA margins intact, and that is how we try and increase our prices.
So if you could quantify, what is the price hike we have taken in the quarter, April and May month, as a percentage?
I said we will be going to take a price hike in the current quarter. It is not exactly April and May. we are going to take a price hike within this quarter.
Okay. And so my second question is on the long run. We had set a target that we'll go up to about 5,000 crores in the coming 3 to 4 years time. So how are we seeing that?
The person you are speaking with has put a call on hold. Please.
Sorry. Yeah. So repeating my question. So on the long run, we had set a target of about reaching the top line of about 5,000 crores in 3 to 4 years time. So how are we seeing, looking at the demand in the market going forward? Are we on track, or we should be able to achieve it on the lower side, like in 2.5-3 years time? Because we have been aggressive on a growth strategy as of now. We are improving our brands, the product mix. So can you just enlighten more on that?
So see, two and a half, 3 years will be a shorter, I don't think it will be possible in the next 2 years or something. It would, but overall on the demand side, the demand overall in the economy is quite good because there is a sense of consumerism which is going on in the Indian economy. Even if you look at post-COVID, people are traveling like anything, flights are full, hotels are full, and people just want to spend and splurge because everyone has now understood that, there is the savings portion is going down and people are wanting to spend more. So yes, ultimately, deep down, fundamentally, the demand side is there. What the only constraint or only restriction which we see is that because the cotton prices have gone up significantly, so it might just come with a lag effect. People take some amount of time to get used to the new prices. And it is not that we increase, we can just pass on the prices immediately. The price increase are always passed on with a lag effect. And the customer also tends to adjust to the new price regime with a lag effect. So this, this time lag is something which is the only constraint. But yes, deep down in the kind of products which we are offering, they are not fashion wear products, they are basic essentials. So these are certain set of products which, the consumer will have to consume whether today or tomorrow. They can postpone their consumption, but they cannot avoid their consumption.
So sir, we can say about 3.5-4 years should be a good target for 5,000 crores of top line.
So it is difficult to put a number, exact number to it, but yes, we are looking at a healthy growth rate and we are looking to beat the, we are looking at capturing more market share and beating the industry growth rate. That is something which we are targeting ourselves at, but how the industry pans out in the next few years is difficult to comment. But yes, what we are aggressively looking at is capturing more market share.
Okay, sir. That would be all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rajiv from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you can help with the volume numbers across the three segments for the quarter. Because your slide number 35 has the full year number.
Yeah, full year number is there. The quarter numbers we'll share with our IR and in turn they can share it with you.
Do you have it handy for Lyra, for example? That segment has done well for the.
So see, we have the full year number with us. At full year, we have at the volume level we have grown about 22%, and we do not have the quarterly numbers with us. But quarterly, yes, we've seen a good growth coming in, but we don't have the exact figures with us right now. But on the fiscal year to year level, we have grown about 22%. Overall, from fiscal year ended March 22 over fiscal year ended March 21.
But specifically, if we indexed Lyra from FY 22 as compared to FY 19 levels, and then we compare against another listed peer in the bottom wear segment, do we think we are slightly doing under a shade under the other player?
No, so see, I will tell you, if you're the kind of peers which you're referring to, so we are operating in two very different spheres. They are mostly, I believe, into organized retail, whereas we are more into the general trade as well as a bit of organized retail. So the kind of markets we are catering to are very different. But yes, see, for example, during COVID, our sales did not take a hit much because we were in the general trade as well. Whereas those who are only into organized retail had taken a big hit. So there are pros and cons to it both. And yes, we are not only into bottom wear. We are, as we mentioned, we are also forayed into the lingerie space. And we see promising results coming out from the lingerie space because as we have always mentioned in our previous con calls, this is one space which we believe is very under-tapped and which is still in the hands of unorganized players. So as to say, non-branded players. So we believe that if this entire category sees brands coming in at a, you know, at a reasonable price point, not at a price point which many people can't afford. If you look at a reasonable price point, say about approximately, say, on an average of 300 to 350 rupees, that is a price point which we believe that a lot of traction will come in. And that is one of the spaces which we feel is very, very exciting going ahead. So yes, bottomwear is definitely growing and doing quite well. And at the same time, we are also looking at the lingerie space as well as the loungewear space.
This 22% growth will again be largely led by price, right? As we have seen for the segment.
No. So I will break up for the year end date. Lyra would have grown 22% on volume wise, and if I look at turnover wise, we have grown 34%. So that would translate to 12% value growth, 22 volume and 12 value. So overall 34% growth.
And if I look at your premium segment, last year the margins you used to share for this segment, it used to be 18 to 21% bracket, and then you shifted that to 22 to 26%. Possibly some of the price hikes would have been, and this time around you have grown at 36%, but there is no increase in the margin profile of this segment. Shouldn't this be
that bracket only? And even if you see the margin for the year-on-year basis is coming under that bracket. So last year March 21 versus this year March 22, the margin is almost in the same range. So we change the bracket only in case of there is unfitment of the brand under that bracket. Otherwise, we keep the brands under the similar kind of range.
Okay, but usually most retailers try not to touch their entry level prices, right? For example, your economy.
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So coming on to the economy segment, usually most retailers don't touch their entry level segments, the entry level prices. There also we have seen a very significant jump in the price. Or am I reading it wrong that the entry level has not been touched, but the overall portfolio has seen?
Could not get your understand your question properly with regards to the economy segment. What is this exactly that you are asking?
The ASPs have grown up. I think close to 30% in the last 2 years, 30-31% put together. Usually, most retailers don't touch the entry level prices. Where customers get intimidated.
Economy segment, even if you see, there is an overall sales growth of 19% on an annualized basis. And even this growth has come after taking a ASP growth of close to 25% for the year.
Correct. So I'm saying that 25% on the economy segment, wouldn't it hurt?
No. So see, cotton being a basic commodity, if the prices of cotton go up, all the other manufacturers within that space will have to increase their price. They will be left with no option. Because if you're selling an economy product, your margins are already quite reasonable. And if the yarn prices are going up, then you're not left with an option but to increase your prices. So if, you know, it is not that only we have increased our prices. If every player in that particular segment happens to increase the price, then, the customer has to end up, the retailer and the customer ends up accepting that price.
So I get it, but my point is this volume decline, which you are seeing minus 5%,
yeah.
Is it going to somebody else or the...
It is not that in terms of, even if I look at the volume market share of that particular segment, it is not that we have lost any market share in that particular price point. It is just that overall in the economy, there was a decrease in consumption because, people tend to, take on the price hike with a lagged effect.
Sure. And then you're saying that in the economy side, and on terms of price hike, there will be more coming through in the current fiscal as well.
I'm sorry?
I mean, there will be more price hikes which will come through in the current.
There will be further price hikes coming in, because the way the yarn prices are behaving, it is quite wild. It's on a complete wild run. And the way the cotton prices are right now, every player in this sector will have to compulsorily end up increasing their prices. No one is left with an option.
And you haven't witnessed downtrading in the sense people going back to from brand to a non-brand because of this?
No, so it is not that people move from a brand to a non-brand. What people might perhaps do, is this for something which you are yet to see, but what people might perhaps do is they might move from a mid-premium product to an economy product, but they tend to stick to the brand. It is difficult for a customer to move from a branded to a non-branded product. Within the same brand, they might end up, depending on the prices and depending on their preferences, they might end up choosing a more cheaper product.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ronak Vora from AUM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So what kind of demand environment are we witnessing in Q1, Q2 as of now? Are we seeing that our inventory is getting picked up, and will that lead to lower inventory levels going ahead?
So, see, it's quite difficult to comment on current quarter figures. But yeah, overall, we would say that, you know, it's a mixed kind of a response. It is still, you know, the yarn prices at which we were in Q4, we are standing at a much higher yarn price in Q1. So, you know, as I said, that again, when we take a price hike, again, the customers tend to respond it with a lagged effect. So the yarn prices only keeping up, you know, it's reaching a lifetime high every day. So at whatever price you end up buying, you end up tending to be a gainer only.
I understand the pricing environment. The environment that I want to understand is the volume environment. Are we seeing, you know, better volumes month on month levels, or they are still remaining flattish or in a downtrend?
No, so see, the volumes I would say are decent. They're not bad. But yeah, it's difficult to give a exact picture of the current quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I had few questions. One is, out of your total ASP growth of 19%, how much will be the total price hike that would be contributing to it?
So, there has been a slight product mix change also. We've moved, the premium product portfolio has done much better, but I would still contribute most of the AC growth coming in from the price hike. So, bulk of it would be price hike, and a bit of it would be due to mix change.
So, can I assume 15-16%?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you have mentioned, your presentation is very detailed, and just going through it and wanted to understand this accelerating digital adoption. So what exactly are you doing here in terms of digital adoption? Could you please explain that slide?
So allow me to bifurcate this in two parts. One is from the governance point of view, that we are in the process of digitalizing all our SOPs. There is a workflow system via which the entire system can be connected with one wire, and everyone can see that how the data is moving and how the approval mechanism should work in the system. The second part is from the business point of view, that how we can more integrate with our retailers. So we are working on few of the system where we can directly have a reach to understand which retailer is working for me, which retailer is not, in which area, how much is the scope, how many penetration we have done, and what is the scope to grow again further. So we have bifurcated the things in the two parts. One, to have a smooth workflow. The second, how to scale up the business with the help of the data.
Okay, and you've mentioned about detailed IT investment roadmap for the next 10 years. So how much would you be investing as a ballpark number? As a result of this investment, what is the likely improvement in the distribution network that you would be looking at?
So see, the company has always been very upbeat about, investing in digital, investing in IT, and investing in systems. We have always, even with regards to SAP implementation and with regards to our distribution management and with regards to salesman monitoring. So there are different spheres where the company is investing in the IT. And so right now, you know, it won't be exactly correct to spell out all the details. But yeah, what we can safely understand is that we would right now, from a manual-driven process, we want everything gradually to move to an automated kind of a process where things and decisions are, you know, the data is presented in such a format where things and decisions are taken quite automatically rather than with manual intervention. That is the thought, and with that thought, we are proceeding and investing in the IT.
Fantastic. Sir, you've 18 EBOs now. What has been experience and what are the key learnings and how are you going to scale up this format going forward?
So we found a mix. We've got a mix sort of a response with the EBOs. And so some of the stores have performed fantastically. Some of the stores have been laggards. So we've seen both kinds of responses. So right now it's a learning process for us as well, and we are just trying to fine tune the locations where we want to open.
Okay, understood. So, but then there is no aggressive target to increase any EBOs. It's still under learning process, right? Right. Hello.
The line for the management is please wait while we connect them back to the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, you all are requested to please be connected while I connect the management back to the conference call.
The person you are speaking with.
Participants are requested to please be connected while I bring the management back to line. Ladies and gentlemen, request you all to please be connected while we are trying to connect back the management. Ladies and gentlemen, you all are requested to please be connected. We are trying to connect back the management. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. The line for the management is connected, so go ahead. We have Ms. Prerna connected in the queue.
Yeah, sir. So we are an EBO
expansion. We are on the EBO front. So yes, as we have seen, we've seen a mixed sort of a response, and going ahead, when we open a new EBO store, so the company now has a learning from its past experience as to what sort of stores, what size of stores we need to open. So hopefully in the coming few quarters when we open new stores, the results will be better.
Okay. And so last two questions. One is on the exports market. You've done extremely well on the exports side with 169 crores of sales. How much growth can we expect in the next 3 to 5 years, whatever period you're comfortable with, in that category? Because, I mean, I believe that segment has done extremely well over the last few years. Despite COVID-related restrictions and stuff, 169 crores is very good because you were around 110 crores 3 years prior to COVID.
So we believe that going forward, we are expecting the export sector to grow around 15% to 20%.
Okay. And so last question on inflation. We've seen a tremendous price hike in last 1 year, 1.5 years in the economy and economy innerwear segment. largely led by either supply chain or raw material or any other factor. Now when eventually these things cool down, historically, price hikes, are they rolled back, or we continue with the same price levels and these remain fixed?
No. So, see, going forward, if the prices go high, then we try to increase our product prices. And vice versa, when the cotton prices go down, so, you know, it is not that the prices will stick to what they were. The prices will also come down slightly.
Okay. Okay. But the entire pass-on will not happen. So, you will retain some of the price hike.
You tend to read. That depends. That actually depends on what the market scenario is and how the market is playing out. So right now, see, as I said, a lot of people have already postponed their consumption. So if the demand, you know, if all the pent-up demand comes in together, then the entire price hike is not rolled back. But it actually depends on the market situation. But yes, if the yarn prices come down, then we also tend to decrease our prices. That has historically been the trend.
Okay. So last question on winter wear. Generally, you start winter wear production this time. So how have been the demand in the winter wear from your distribution network? And
last fiscal year, the winter wear was a super flop season. And that was across the entire nation, be it apparel, be it cosmetics, be it any other category which caters to the winter wear products. The overall winter wear demand was quite subdued due to the seasonal play. And this year also, we are expecting that, we are expecting this year's winter season to be quite good, but it is actually something which is very, very season dependent and very weather dependent. So it will be very difficult for any player in this economy to comment as to how the winter will play out. Because it is something which the season only know, the weather gods only know how will the weather turn out to be. As far as our products are concerned, our product is right now also the top selling product in our category. But if the winter season happens to fail, then it's in no one's hand. But if the winter season turns out to be good, because generally, historically, there are no two back-to-back years when the winters fail. If last year the winter was bad, then generally what happens is the next year winter turns out to be good. There are no two back-to-back failed seasons. So we are expecting this year winter to be good. And in winter, we are the market leaders with our products like Lux Inferno and Lux Cotswool. In both of these categories, we are market leaders. It is just for the season to decide as to how severe the cold ends up to be and at what point, at what point of time the winter kicks in. You know, the cold breeze comes in. Last year, the season started to happen, I think, end of December or early Jan, which was quite late for the winter season. So if the winter sets in around mid-November, it's very good for everyone. If the winter sets in around mid-December or early Jan, then the season tends to fail.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we've been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or Strategic Growth Advisors or IR Advisors. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Lux Industries Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.